Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and Dan, we've talked about this before, the tendency when it comes to tax rules and somebody says they know something. You want to finish that with a little caricature that I've got somewhere in my materials? It's about a search engine that we both use a lot.
Oh, Mr. Google?
That's exactly right. So do you know it, or do you Google know it when you say you know something?
Yeah.
And I tell you what, in the world of tax advice, there's a lot of stuff that people Google know that they don't get the exceptions to the general rule that Google typically has at its fingertips, whether it's true, whether even that's true, or whether it's somebody's opinion. And it's amazing when you know a little bit about some of the exceptions to the general rule in the tax code, how wrong so much of the advice or the answers online are. All that said, Dan and I, or Dan, you, I'm assuming you, like I, do use Google quite a bit, and we ferret out the bad stuff. We usually already know the answer, don't we, Dan? And we're just seeking affirmation.
Out of those 76,000 pages of the Internal Revenue Code, maybe we can find something within Google that supports some aspect of it or doesn't support, you know. So easy source to go to, there's no doubt. But because it is so easy, you get some misinformation possibly.
Yeah, you get complacent. Yeah, we get complacent about checking more than once. But there are some wonderful sites out there, and especially in light of the topics that we talk about ongoing. And this week we've got an article. We've got in our news section on the BeAPlannerShow.com website, which the news section is on the resources page. We've listed, 4 articles that we're going to hopefully touch on this week. And this stays out here. This list will grow and grow and grow, so you've always got the ability to come back. But there's one article specifically that was pulled off of the Truth in Accounting website, and we link to it. And I'm going to challenge you. It is not an easy article, nor is it an entertaining article to read. And if you do begin to understand it, you're just going to get angry, okay, when you understand just how our country is run fiscally or financially. And you combine that with another article. It's not really an article. It's a letter that I listed this week The Truth in Accounting articles is called The Debt Ceiling Debate Begins and Ends with Accounting Standards. And for those of you that may have some exposure to accounting standards, you'll know that there's essentially two major types of accounting, cash accounting and accrual. And then, of course, there's hybrids there in between those two bounds. Right, Dan? I'm not sure where you would throw the governmental standards. They're probably in the middle. It's been a long time since I was familiar with exactly where they deviate.
Many people talking these days about the government, you know, refer to the cash basis, and we've alluded to that effectively more than one time, too, in discussion, just simply because they ignore those unfunded debts that we know are there, you know, the Medicare, the Social Security, Medicaid, you know, those big numbers that we know we're going to have to pay at some point. But we don't record them. We just pay them.
Well,
even
if they would just book them, forget about funding them. I mean, that would be a pleasant surprise. But if they would just show them so that people understand the liability section of the government's balance sheet does not have a $32 trillion deficit. It's more like, take your pick, it's anywhere between 130 and 230 trillion is what people in the know, like former comptroller the government, David Walker, who has done a movie or has been in the movie The Tax Train Is Coming, out several years ago, and continues to speak on this topic often. And he's absolutely an expert in this topic. And, you know, you may not like to hear it from me or Dan, and you may not even like to read it on websites that are pretty authoritarian, the Truth in Accounting website, and there's others. And how about reading the letter from CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, that estimated the budgetary effects of the Fiscal Responsibility Act, which is what they called the monstrosity they just passed to lift the debt ceiling, that went to Speaker McCarthy on May 30th. And Dan, you were just telling me before the show, and this is a lengthy letter. What would you say? Let's see. I'm paging down on the PDF. It's It stops with the tables, but down to the tables, it's 10 pages, and then you've got
at least the last paragraph. Can I read it?
Sure, go ahead.
It says, suspend the debt limit. Division D of H.R. 3746 would suspend the debt limit through January 1, 2025. On January 2nd, the debt limit would be raised by the amount of the obligations incurred to that point. What does that say? That there is no debt limit. Go spend what you want to spend is what it sounds like to me. What did we control there?
Whether that's what it means or not, that's what happens. And you don't think, I'm just curious, Dan, you don't think that if they hadn't reached a, quote, agreement to lift it, you don't think they would have continued to spend? I mean, again, it's a cash basis system, and I've read more than a few articles and experts talk about how much money we're collecting, and we're collecting a lot of money at the present. And so it's not like there's no money to spend, and so there would be a prioritization, and certain things would get paid because it has to. I mean, there's no ands, ifs, or buts, and I guarantee you they'd keep borrowing money if they had to. And so, you know, in America, we're real good about dotting our I's and crossing our T's to legitimize or to make whatever we're doing legal that an ordinary business or another country, as an example. You know, I only imagine what other countries think about the way we literally print money and are jealous that they just print money when they run out of money. But that something would occur along those lines. We'd find a way to print more money. But anyway, this letter I thought was a good illustration. If you don't, yeah, you've probably heard about CBO. You may not understand exactly what it does, but boy, this will give you a good idea or not of what they do. And, you know, sometimes I wonder if it's not all just a bunch of hooey, because they seem to give both sides, there's usually two sides of these arguments, plenty of fodder to make their arguments. I forgot to mention when we were talking about talking to your professionals that understand your facts and circumstances. I know we get calls every week from people that say, well, you know, I may have an accountant, but they don't do what you guys do when it comes to, as example, the self-directed 401 trust strategy that we use with a lot of our clients, and we combine that with investing in real estate private partnership syndications. And again, it presumes you qualify. You've got some self-employment income to qualify to have a solo K, is the marketing term. But we refer to it the way the code does, the Internal Revenue Code, as a qualified trust pursuant to Section 401. And there's significant benefits to investing in that structure as opposed to an IRA. And I'm not going to get into it on this week's show, but we will soon. We need to talk more about it because it is such a significant way to invest your retirement money, especially for those of you that may be behind on retirement, which I suspect is a large part of our listener base, because those are the kind of prospects we get. And, you know, when you're in your mid-50s to 60 and you've got $200,000 or $300,000 in your 401, you got a problem, because not only are you barreling down the tracks to retirement, I don't know if you've looked around in the recent past, but people are living a lot longer. Dan, what's the life expectancy up to approximately for males and females?
Mid-80s, 85, 87.
Yeah, approximately. I mean, it vacillates. It's down a little bit due to COVID, I believe, maybe down a year on average. But bottom line is people are living due to medical advances, technology, et cetera. I don't know. Maybe people are eating their vegetables better these days. I don't know exactly what all goes into that. But people are living longer. And so when you think about, you know, I think $1 million used to be the old benchmark where people would say, well, you know, I've kind of got it covered. Well, now it's at least $2 to $3 million. And then when you factor in the long-term health care cost for those that make it to their early to mid-80s, when then it's likely, very likely, that they're going to tap or need to tap their funds for long-term health care for a year and a half, I think, on average, is what I read these days, at, you know, $8,000 to $12,000 a month. That's a significant chunk of their retirement wealth. And it may not be something they are unable to afford, but it's likely going to mean the heirs are going to have a chunk of their inheritance sapped out, you know, going to pay those medical bills. In any event, Dan, let's do this. Let's take a break, come back in a few minutes, and we'll talk about, I think I'd like to talk about the fact that most people over 60 own their home and what a valuable retirement asset that can be. Let's dig into that when we return here in a couple minutes from the break. We'll be right back with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and this week's guest, Dan DuBose. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at NPRoss.com. Nathan at NPRoss.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Like the song, Bobby McGee. I'm just longing to be free. Take me away, I wanna be. Big dreams and fake dreams. And there are many just like me.
With big dreams.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, the CPA. We all like Dolly, don't we, Dan?
I love Dolly, yes, indeed.
Quite the performer, and that was one of her latest songs we were just listening to. Came out, was it 22 or 23? I can't believe, I think it's 22.
You know,
I've missed a lot of...
She's still putting up a lot of shows, it's just amazing.
It's crazy. It's crazy, Dan. Just crazy. But anyway, and she's not the only one, by the way, of the performers of our Ute that are still out there. It's just, it's remarkable at times. But anyway. Well, Dan, there was an article in Kiplinger. So we're going to talk about the Kiplinger article if you're looking at the news section of the resources page of the BAPlannerShow.com. Not to be confused with the BAPlannerSite.com or BAPlanner.com, where I keep trying to finish the concept of don't DIY these strategies. So if you don't have somebody to work with that, like Dan and I, understand the strategies and the math metrics of private syndications, where we can help you understand what you're signing up for when you contemplate investing, and understand what I just said. We help you understand the math behind what you're signing up for. We do not sell you an investment. We don't market investments. We may talk to syndicators from time to time on the air, and we don't get paid, at least to date. That could always change. We don't get paid to promote a syndicator. We are always looking for good syndicators. And if you're a syndicator and you're within the sound of our voice collectively, please let us know if you've got a transaction that you think is something we should be aware of. Now, I didn't say something we would openly discuss on the air. We don't typically do that. We for sure don't do it if it's a 506B. Some 506Cs that maybe have already occurred, we may do, or if there's a good reason, we might otherwise divulge that. But generally, we only divulge details to people that are our clients, that are working with us and are paying us to help them learn what they're signing up for. And in most cases have actually sent us, in fact, maybe all cases, they've sent us the PPMs involved in operating agreements, et cetera. But anyway, Dan, let's bump back to this Kiplinger article. Are you overlooking your most valuable asset? It came out, I believe, a couple days ago. You know, we've talked about, and by the way, we're not alone. There's a lot of people that talk about getting your money out of your house. It's just, you don't hear, you know, about all the options. And, you know, there's more than a few ways to skin that cat, so to speak. My apologies to the PETA crowd. I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. There's more than one way to accomplish the objective of getting the money out of your house. I think we're pretty much ambivalent to the best way. What we warm up to is the best math, right, Dan? How would you explain that further?
you know, math is what makes it happen. You know, you can determine lots of things by using some simple math sometimes. Do you have some equity in your house? Do you need money? You know, subtract what you owe from what it's worth, and you may have a big, big pot of gold there sitting that could be invested to make you some money. You know, do you need that big old house when you had kids? Do you need that big house now that you don't have kids? You know, do you need that big old lot where you got to have somebody cut your grass and take care of your swimming pool and all, you know, it's just an expensive operation these days. Owning a home is quite expensive. We've had several clients move into not assisted living, but it is apartment dwelling of a sort, you know, where you buy into a unit, or you may even just rent in that unit. There's little or no equity where you can use that money to take care of yourself or spend on what you need as far as health concerns are a matter. So, you know, there's money in houses these days. There's no doubt about it. That we had a friend that just moved from California, and it's just amazing the boatload of money they brought from California to Texas when they moved down considerably from what they had in California. It's awesome. It's just a good thing to look at on a. It comes right back to your math again, Nathan. You know, what do I have in it? What can I get out of it? So it's a big deal. And they're in houses too. We got to remember these days, a couple has $500,000 that they don't have to pay any capital gain tax on, and we're seeing people with those kinds of gains in their houses these days.
Yeah, it's it is amazing. Well, especially like you say, depending on where you're coming from. Hey, Dan, I don't have an article on this, but you know, I was searching for another article. I read about a little bit about, or I saw a reference to, and I've read a little bit about it here this past week. Can you tell us without breaching any confidential info you have as a precinct chair in Harris County's GOP, what's going on with the Abbott Patrick's argument over property taxes? Are you up on the details?
I'm not up on it, as you say, but I do know that there's a battle going on. You know, Dan Patrick, of course, has been, you know, trying to get taxes down ever since he's been, well, since before he even got into politics. You know, that's been his stick for a long, long time. So he wants to get rid of it. You know, we did have a $33 billion, what do you call it, positive cash flow, I guess, at the Texas level in the last 2 years. So there's something that's where we're overtaxing the people. Now, that's at the state level we're talking about, that $33 trillion that could be put back to the people to, you know, lower the property tax. Or some people are saying do away with them. You know, this guy I was talking about from California, he said, well, my income tax went down, but my property taxes sure did go up. So that's one thing that we do have that's, I think, understood around the country, is that Texas does still have a very high property tax rate. We don't have any income tax, we proudly say, and I think that's something worth saying, but our property taxes sure do suck up a lot of that cash flow.
Yeah. Well, in any event, I agree that property taxes are too high just because I've got to pay them. Otherwise, I don't really. I mean, I don't know where they would replace that big of a chunk of our budget, though. But I don't know. We've got a pretty hefty surplus this year. So, in terms of your home, you know, you've got more than a few options. I mean, if you're living in a huge, you know, 4-bedroom or 5-bedroom, 3-bath, and you know, all the kids are gone, and maybe it's just you and a spouse, or maybe it's just you. Maybe you're a widow or widower, and you sell. Would you buy something else, Dan, or would you go the rental route and maximize the amount? Because then you could invest maybe in some rental properties or something other than just T-bills, although I guess depending on your risk tolerance, you might look at something like a T-bill. But I've got a lot of clients that put their money into these real estate private partnerships, and for the most part, there are some rough headwinds right now, but for the most part, you know, they've got they get returns that are higher than what you're going to get with a CD or other interest rate based investment. Yeah. So I'm curious.
CDs are paying, you know, pretty high rates right now. You know, what, 4 or 5%, and you certainly get that with a zero risk or virtually zero risk U.S. Treasury. So it's pretty amazing how many people, the talking heads, are talking about, you know, staying on the short term side with cash being at 4 or 5%. You know, we still got to have the real estate investment. We still must have it because people. We're still under, what's the word, we don't have enough housing now, so it's still short, but we still got to keep building. There's no doubt about that because people still need a place to live. But, you know, the long-term investments are really tough right now with these interest rates being unknown, of the top side being unknown. We're seeing high cap rates on purchases, and it's we got to get this interest rate thing straightened out. We just got to be able to know where we're going so we can really make some good plans and stop this nonsense about, you know, spending outside of budgets as the U.S. government does continually. We've got to stop and plan for the, you know, for us, the little guy out here. He's got to know what's going to happen in the future more than what we can right now, I believe. It's tough. Interest rates are killing us right now. You can just ask about any real estate developer these days what it's doing to their pocketbook. It's insurance. How about that? Insurance is just increasing so much, and property taxes, again, coming back to that, and that problem. It's just, it's eating up the cash flow. It's eating into their investment proceeds. It's tough right now, Nathan, no doubt.
Yeah, it is, but, you know, if you look at the news, I was just looking for the Connect CRE news email that I got, which kind of summarizes the different areas of the country, and, you know, there were transactions from Atlanta to Sacramento all across the country that are coming out, you know, out of the starting blocks. And so it is amazing to me how the drum just keeps beating, and how a huge segment of the commercial real estate market is really doing okay. And it's not to say that it's as lucrative as maybe it was 2 years ago, but there's a whole section of the commercial real estate market that's you know, doing fine. And I mean, it's all spectrums. Retail, office is maybe the only one, but even office, you got to look at always the other opportunities that are created. There's buildings that are being converted. You know the big space that appears to be soaking up buildings. It happened in the mall arena not too long ago, not too many years ago. You know what it is, Dan? According to an article I happened upon this week, it's universities and colleges taking up space and converting it to either administrative or some classroom space. And so, you know, it's there's always the beneficiary of the downtimes that's learned how to either make money or cut costs by repurposing. And yes, in terms of the bank sector, it looks like it's going to be a brutal event with all the buildings that are falling below market. And it's like one comment in one of the articles I was reading, they were talking about non-recourse debt, And one of the developers, who obviously was the beneficiary of the non-recourse part of the debt, said, "Why do you think we do non-recourse deals?" You know, it's like, right. these are the times, right? So anyway, let's see. What else, Dan? Any other news? Any other comments on news? Shall we proceed to discuss a couple of the syndications that we have on our list this week?
Maybe. I think we just need to keep in mind that the debt ceiling is really not there. The government's going to keep, Congress is going to keep authorizing and spending as long as they've got an open pocketbook or open checkbook. And it sounds like, from what we know right now, they do. So we're not going to be looking for any decrease in that budget deficit by any means, I don't think. We're probably going to see an increase, which means that, you know, that debt that's now at 32 trillion is going to be 35-36 trillion before we know it. It's certainly going to be before that 2030 date that David Walker talked about so well back not too long ago.
Yeah.
You know, the government interest is going to exceed the GDP, if it didn't already, Nathan. Going to be there. It's just
I'm going to ask you, when's the last time you heard reference to the balanced budget amendment that passed, I believe, back when Phil Graham, back in those days? That's
40
somewhere
years
back in the 80s. Yeah. And I haven't heard that referenced in forever. Remember how that was going to solve everything? Boy, that's going to spank Congress every time they think about, you know, having deficit spending. And yet, I don't think it was balanced 1 year after that, was it, that I can recall? Now, if it was,
I think Bill Clinton took credit for underspending 1 year, but that was 1 year out of, what, 8 of his. So.
Yeah, I think you're right. I do recall. But anyway. Hey, I remember there was a transaction we were looking at this week. I think it was in Atlanta that had a interest rate. Speaking of interest rates, as you were, they were showing a projected interest rate of 8.30%. You remember, you have that deal handy where we can look at some of the specifics on that one. I can't remember the name, but I'm curious what kind of exit cap they were using. And
is that the one that was in Florida, maybe?
No, it was an Atlanta deal. Well, I don't want to waste too much time. I guess, you know, we did have an interesting, when you look at the different genres of real estate, there was a deal this week up in the Northeast. It was a charter school, but we don't see many of those. And they had some rational metrics in the math, did they not, Dan? It was a relatively short hold for almost, well, let's see, 4 years and a couple months. If I recall, it had an exit cap that was up in the sixes, right?
Which, yeah, it was six point flat. Yeah.
Yeah. So you would think, well, you know, in 4 years, that might still be reasonable. I don't know. I mean, when you look at the jobs report from, I guess it was yesterday, you don't think the Fed is going to continue raising the rates? I mean, I don't know how much of a pause we're going to have, but that's essentially a bullhorn saying, hey, we got to keep raising the rates to tap this down, right? So
yeah, that's what the talking heads are saying. You know, they're expecting another 25 basis points, 0.25% increase in July, I guess it is, when the next meeting happens, or maybe June. I think it's July. Anyway, it will increase is what most people are putting into their budget, so to speak.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Dan, let's find that Atlanta deal during the break and come back with that. Let's go ahead and take our second break, and we'll come back here in a few minutes with more of the Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross and Dan Dubose.
I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. And I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. Grindstones and rhinestones have made up my life. But I shine like a diamond through sacrifice. I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. But I hope life will tell me, well done, my child. You've won your reward through your sacrifice. Your sacrifice.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be A Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner show. And I've been talking with my guest, Dan Dubose, CPA, for most of the show about assorted news items, kind of all over the board, but all seemingly impacted by interest rates, cap rates, et cetera, as has been a lot of the news in the recent past. And, you know, it's the way of the real estate business. It's all about the math, and it's pretty dramatic looking at how just a seemingly small change in one of the key variables throws wrenches into the works. And Dan, I don't know, did you have any luck finding that transaction? Because I've got another topic I want to discuss if you didn't, or if you want to talk about at least one transaction this week. Did you have any luck?
I found it in Atlanta. It's in the Connect CRE. Is that the one you're talking about?
Okay, I believe so. I'm trying to think. It was about a 200 or 300, probably 300 unit project, I think. What's the one that you've located?
It was just talking about the top end, about this is Atlanta, Georgia, actually. Is that the one?
Right.
They're bringing people into the city from the suburbs, is what they're saying, but just you know, that's all I got out of it. It didn't have any detail that I could find on the
picture. Oh, okay. Well, that, yeah, that may not have been the one. We'll find it and we'll add it to the list for next week. But what I wanted to talk, you know, we were talking about the impact of seemingly small changes. I had a person contact us after last week's show about a deal that he had invested in. And I'm not going to mention the details. Let's just say it's a real estate private partnership syndication, probably about a year ago. And I had this transaction put in front of me by several clients to look at. And I looked at a number of factors, and I just told them, as with everything, you know, do it at your own risk, but here's how I see the math. And I didn't like the fees. You know, we had, it was a $65 million or so transaction, a big complex in a major U.S. city and in a great area. And it was a classic case of a syndicator taking what should have been a grand slam for the investor and turning it into a single, maybe a double at best, if we're putting it in baseball parlance, because of all the fees that were being added and because they were backloading the return to the investor. And by that I mean, and this to me is even more amazing looking back now, when I realize that the cautionary issues that I identified are now coming true. And this was a 10-year projected payback to get to a 3.5 equity multiple. 10 years, which isn't great even if you got there. It's about 80% of the level that we would suggest is the gold standard on the equity multiple, which is doubling your money every 3.6 years, I believe, is the metric that I use, Dan. It's 0.0463 per month, so you can do the math. But anyway, this transaction, which they were touting as the most unbelievable transaction, you know, near 4.0 equity multiples, what they called it, which, yeah, maybe over 10 years it would have gotten close, but boy, you got a lot of unknowns. And this, we're only a year away from that start point, and now already they're going to have to mediate with a lender involved if they want to try to hang on to the property. And I tell you what, it's almost deafening, the difference in posture from the initial investment webinar that I saw about a year ago, where they were literally throwing confetti in the air at the end of the webinar, and they were talking about why this is the classic section. For those of you, first of all, I'm going to suggest to you that in spite of me talking about this on the air and in general, the state of the market, I'm going to suggest now is the time to be investing in real estate private partnerships, especially multifamily, because as the expression goes, there's blood in the streets. I mean, there's a lot of poorly run or poorly underwritten deals that are now available for the guys and gals that know what they're doing. And so your challenge, if you're an investor or you've got money to invest, and by the way, this is when you really make money if you get into the right transactions, because people that kept their powder dry, they've got the cash, they've got the ability to take on, a 60% LTV type loan, or maybe 55. Those people are going to be able to buy things at prices where they stand to make an even bigger multiple on their investment. And so I don't tell you these stories to frighten you or to tell you, oh, you should sit on your money. No, that's the wrong thing to do, because sitting on your money will cost you more in the long run because of the loss of purchasing power. You'll be waiting a while to get your purchasing power back from even a year ago, right? And we happen to think we haven't seen anywhere near the last of the rate increases and or the inflationary trends that cause these problems to exacerbate. But again, there's always somebody making money in the down market, whether they know they've got an inside on a property, or they are you know, they've got their model honed, their underwriting model, and they're waiting for the right fish to swim by that fits their criteria. And then, you know, they've got a balance sheet, or they've got the ability to raise capital in a fashion that makes the lender comfortable. And most importantly, that syndicator's been to the finish line before on similar properties. And you get that combination, that's who's announcing transactions on these assorted platforms. We referred to Connect CRE. It's a great source of regional and national real estate data on who's doing deals. And but anyway, Dan, you know, I watched as this syndicator was given an update to his investors. He was obviously stressed, as he should be. I mean, this guy's done, I think, 15 or 16 transactions in the last 3 or 4 years. So I'm presuming there's more. In fact, there may be others in this current. He's doing a mediation, which he pitched as being proactive. I'm not sure about that. I have seen very few mediations where the borrower is asking for the mediation. But if that is in fact the case, I would give this guy a lot of credit that he's got the foresight to do that, because this won't be the last time. And by the way, Dan, this, if I'm not mistaken, the debt structure on this transaction was the one that we've been warning about for a couple years now, which is the 3-year bridge debt with 2 1-year extensions. And I'm telling you that 90% of the transactions, at least over the past couple years, have been that type of transaction. I can only imagine the number of those transactions. And with, by the way, with variable rates in most cases, and that is the case here. So what's happened in this specific deal is the lender has raised the interest rate because they could. I don't know, maybe at the 1-year mark. So the rates clicked up, and then so it's not only more interest that's due with each payment, which they're not able to make, apparently, even the interest payment in total, but you've also got reserve requirements that have ticked up, and the lender's requiring more money put aside for paying future payments. But anyway, it's going to be interesting. And again, I think that there's quite a number of syndicators that are patiently biding their time and sitting on the sidelines looking to scoop up these deals. Any thoughts on that, Dan? We've got about a minute left here, it looks like.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a bunch of, one guy used to say, licking his chops, you know, thinking about getting in there and getting that property. At, you better have a bunch of cash, though, to do it, I believe, because it's, you know, borrowing is still high. It's still going to be very high if you went in there right now. You know, the agencies, are they doing anything? If they are, are they underwriting it? You know, 6% seems to be a level that's going to be used for probably at least another couple of years from what I've seen from talking to an appraisal friend of mine. So it's still going to be high. It's going to be expensive, too, to own it. You know, we did it probably long ago at 8% that made money, but that's back when you buy things at $35,000 a unit, too. So not $235,000, not $335,000, but $35,000 a unit. So, you know, 8% on that's not too bad, but 8% on a $235,000 is a big, big difference. So you got to have some good cash flow to make all that work.
Well, It's going to be interesting to see it play out. Well, listen, we're at the end of the show this week, Dan. I want to thank you for taking the time once again, and we'll look forward to next week. And I hope that we have more interesting news to kick around on next week's show. I'm sure we will. This is interesting times for this niche that we work in. Well, listen, thank you for tuning in to all the listeners, and we hope you'll join us in the next week. If you're listening to us in any of the other cities we've just recently started in, you can check the time of those shows on the baplannershow.com website to get more information. We will see you next week. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.